Just a short reading this morning, John chapter 8, John's Gospel, chapter 8, and we're reading from verse 31 down to verse 47. John chapter 8, and verses 31 to 47. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing what your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Amen, and may the Lord bless to each and every one of us the reading and hearing of his own word. And if you keep that passage open, we're going to not go through the passage, but we're going to refer to it back and forwards in the next few moments. Now, I haven't actually got a children's address today, but it's something that we're very important that we're going to talk about today. So I want you to try and listen as carefully as you can. And I'm going to ask some questions while I'm speaking. And I don't want you to tell me. I want you to ask them of yourself. Now, most people know the name of their father. You don't need to put up your hands. I'm sure most of you know the name of your father, and you know the sort of person that they are. Or maybe your father has died. You know the sort of person that they were. You know the work that they do or the work that they did. And perhaps you also know something of their background, where they grew up, who their parents were, what sort of a life they had. And that's most people know these things. Some people might know very little about their father, perhaps because of their own particular family situation or circumstances, so they don't know, maybe they don't even know the name of their real father. They don't know anything about him. But they do know that wherever he might be, whoever he is, they do have a father. Some people might have even had two fathers. Their natural father, but also they might have had an adoptive father or a stepfather. And so they have had their own father, but then maybe somebody that has adopted them into their family, or their parents have remarried, and so they have a stepfather. We read from John chapter 8, and Jesus was speaking to a group of Jews. He was speaking to Pharisees, religious men, who made a claim that Abraham was their father. Now, Abraham had been dead a very long time, but they claimed that Abraham was their father. As well as having their own father, their natural father, they also claimed that Abraham was their father. And they were indeed from Abraham. They were physical descendants of Abraham. They were of the same family line, the same family tree. But these men, these people that Jesus was speaking to, they also believed that Abraham was their spiritual father. Abraham believed God. Abraham belonged to God. He was in the family of God. And so they, like Abraham, believed that they too belonged to God, and they were part of God's family. And so they called Abraham their father. In John chapter 8 and verse 39 there, they said, Abraham is our father. But not only that, not only is Abraham our father, in verse 41 they said, we have one father, God. Abraham is our father, but also God is our father. But as we read on in the passage, we see that they have got it completely wrong. They've got it all wrong. Yes, they were certainly physically descended from Abraham. But Jesus goes on to expose that they are certainly not spiritually related to him at all. They are physically descended from him, but they have no spiritual connection with him whatsoever. In fact, Jesus tells these religious men that their spiritual connection is not with Abraham, nor with God, but rather with the devil. John chapter 8 and verse 44, he says, you are of your father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil. Why did he say this? He said it because they were behaving exactly like the devil. Jesus says the devil is a liar and a murderer. And here they are, these people, the way that they're reacting to Jesus, they hate him. They're showing their hatred towards him. And this is why Jesus exposes this link that they had with the devil. This is how the devil behaves. And look at yourselves. This is exactly the way that you behave. Question that I want to put to you. Here's the question. How many fathers do you have? How many fathers do you have? Or who is your spiritual father? Who is your spiritual father? They believed that Abraham was their father. Abraham believed God. And they believed that they believed in God as well. But Jesus says that's not the case. Who is your spiritual father? And every one of us has got at least two fathers. We have all at least two fathers. We have our father, our natural father, our biological father, the person that you call daddy, that's your natural father. But we also have a spiritual father, whether we acknowledge it or not. The question is, who is your spiritual father? I have had three fathers. I can't see my family, but I'm sure that ears suddenly pricked up when I said that back there in the hall. I have had three fathers. Now, my family is certainly messed up in many ways, but let me explain. I have had three fathers, but now I only have one. My natural, my dad, my biological father died in 1985. But I have a second father, a spiritual father, a father that was always there, but he was very much in the background. And I didn't even know that he was there. I didn't know that there was any connection between us until our relationship came to an end. And the relationship with him ended when my heavenly father adopted me into his family and severed that connection with my father, the devil. That second father was the devil. That is the one who I followed, even though he was very much in the background of my life. Three fathers, but now I only have one. If you belong to God today, if you belong to God through faith in His Son, you too have had three fathers. You've had three fathers. Your natural father, at one time, your father the devil, but now, your heavenly father. If you have not believed in God, if you have not believed in His Son, then you do have two fathers. You have two fathers. You have your natural father. You know his name. You know what he's like. You know what he works at. You know something about his background. But you also have a spiritual father. And this is how Jesus describes him in John 8:44. Your father, the devil. Your father, the devil. Now, the devil doesn't like to be exposed. The devil doesn't like to come out into the light. But maybe, just like me, you haven't realized that there has been any connection between you and the devil. John 3, verse 20. Jesus says, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his works should be exposed." The devil very much likes to operate behind the scenes, to be in the shadows, to be unnoticed, so that those who belong to him don't even realize it and don't even realize what his intentions are for them. And that's why, although the devil was my father for much of my life, I didn't know anything about him. Not very much at all. He was very much in the background. But he was very much at work there in the background in my life. So I want, first of all, to tell you about this father of yours. if your connection with him has not yet been severed by the heavenly Father. Your father, the devil, what's his name? What's his name? Well, the Bible actually gives him a number of different names. And just as God's names reveal something of his beauty and his glorious character, so too the names of God's enemy reveal something of his wicked and malicious character. The name devil, it means slanderer, accuser. The Apostle Peter says that the devil, this accuser, this devil is your adversary. In other words, he's your enemy. He is really against us. And although he might be our father and we might follow him and serve him, he's an enemy. He is against us. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. His aim and his goal, his purpose, is to destroy. He wants to destroy you and me who are made in the image of God. An image that he hates with every part of his being. He is by no means a good father, a benevolent father, a kind father. He is only destructive in his intentions. As the devil, he lives up to his name. He is always accusing. He is always slandering all those who are made in the image of God. He's only called the devil in the New Testament. Another name that Scripture gives him is Satan. A name that appears in both the Old and the New Testaments. In Job chapter 1 verse 7 on into chapter 2, we read about him there and his activities. He's the enemy of the Lord who afflicts the Lord's servant Job. In 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1, Satan is the one who incites David to sin by numbering the people. And in Zechariah 3 verse 1, it is Satan who brings accusations. He's doing the work of the devil here, because he is the devil, but he's called Satan, but he's performing as the devil. He's bringing accusations as the accuser, the slanderer, against Joshua, the high priest. This name, Satan, comes from the Hebrew word meaning adversary. It means adversary. He's an enemy. But that word, Satan, actually comes from a Hebrew verb. And the verb means to lie in wait. To lie in wait. And that is what he is doing. The enemy, your enemy, is continually lying in wait to destroy you. That's his purpose, and that's his intention. And it's this name, Satan, that is taken up and used again and again in the New Testament. The names devil and Satan are the two most common names, the names most often used in Scripture of him. But there are other names that are less frequently used. Names that actually give a description of him. Matthew 1 Thessalonians 3, 5, he is called the tempter. The tempter. Revelation 9:11, he is the destroyer. In Matthew 6:13, he is the evil one. In Revelation 12 and Revelation 20, he's called the dragon. He's called the serpent of old. 1 Peter 5, we've already referred to. He's a roaring lion. The Apostle Paul calls him the God of this age. The God of this age. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. The prince of the power of the air. Ephesians chapter 2. And here in John chapter 8 verse 44, Jesus calls him what he is. He's a murderer and he's a liar. And in John 12 and John 16, Jesus says that he is the ruler of the world. He's also known as Beelzebub, as the enemy, as the deceiver. Now, all of these names, these various names, they only appear either one, two, or three times in the New Testament. In the vast majority of cases, he is either referred to as Satan or the devil. If your father, if your spiritual father is not God, is not the heavenly father, this is who your father is. And now you know his names. You know the name of your dad. This is the name of your spiritual father. Devil, accuser, slanderer, Satan, your enemy, adversary, adversara, tempter, destroyer, evil one, dragon, the serpent of old, the roaring lion, the enemy, the deceiver, the god of this age, the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of this world. Professor Fred Leahy, in his book on Satan, Cast Out, he addresses why is Satan given some of these titles, especially God of this age. Why is he the God of this age? Why is he the prince of the power of the air? Why is he called the ruler of this world? And this is what he says. The evil one, who is the prince of the demons and the head of a godless world order, his power is enhanced by the allegiance, wittingly or unwittingly, of sinful men and accommodated by the corruption of man's heart. And he goes on, Satan had no authority to rule men. God has given Satan no dominion over man. And listen, this is the crunch. This is where it's at. Man is within the power, the dominion of Satan, only because of his sin. Only because of his sin. Jesus tells Paul this in Acts 26 and verse 18. Man is within the power, the dominion of Satan, only because of his sin. In revolt against God, he, man, aligned himself with Satan. And it's in this sense, says Professor Leahy, that Satan is his God and his prince. And we could also add in that other title, that he is the ruler of this world. He is only the ruler of this godless world. Man is captive in the jurisdiction of darkness. Professor Leahy goes on to quote Colossians 1 and verse 13, where Paul speaks about the domain of darkness. The domain of darkness, where Satan holds captive those who are sinners, who enjoy their sin, who love their sin, who want their sin. It's that gives Satan the power over them. So his names. The names of God reveal something of his character, of his works, and so too do the names of God's enemy. They reveal his character and his works. And the New Testament is consistent in portraying the devil, Satan, not only as the enemy of God, but also as the enemy of man right from the very beginning. Jesus told the Pharisees in John 8:44 that he was a murderer from the beginning. A murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Now think about that. Just think about it. What if your dad, what if your real father, your natural father, your biological father, what if he wasn't a man of his word? He couldn't be trusted. You couldn't trust a word that would come out of his mouth. What if he's a man of temper, a man of anger, a man of threats, a man of violence, a man with evil intentions? If your dad was like that, you'd always be on your guard. You'd always be suspicious. You wouldn't take him, you wouldn't take his word at face value. And yet, if you're not a believer, if God is not your Heavenly Father, you're more than happy to follow the prince of the power of this age, the ruler of godless world order, who has no truth in him, rather than follow the one true God, your Creator, who cannot lie, who reveals the truth, who speaks the truth. Why is that? Why? Why do you follow him? If your dad was like that, you'd be on your guard, you'd be suspicious. But why do you follow the devil? It's because of your sin. It's because of your sin. As Professor Leahy said, you prefer your sin. You prefer your sin. You have believed your father's lies. Did God really say? Is God really good to you? Does God really care about you? Does God want what is best for you? The devil would say, he's not. That's what he told Adam and Eve. They said, he's holding something back. You need to take it for yourself. And you believe the lies. And so you're going to look out for number one. Just like the prodigal son, your eye, your heart is in a far country, a far off place. You want to live life to the full. But it's all lies. It's all fancy wrappers with no content except disappointment, misery, and ruin in the end. I was going to have a children's address, and the reason that I didn't do one is because I didn't leave myself enough time to prepare for it, because I was going to prepare you a sandwich. What time is it? Oh, it's coming up to lunchtime. Anybody feeling peckish? Well, I was thinking of bringing a sandwich, but it's a bit of a peculiar sandwich. You might like ham and cheese, or maybe bread with strawberry jam or something like that, and something nice and sweet and tasty. But I was going to bring you a sandwich that Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17 speaks about. You don't need to look it up. I'm going to tell you. Proverbs 20 and verse 17 tells us about a gravel sandwich. You can't do it in the car park anymore because they've made it a nice smooth car park. There's no bits of rubble and stones lying around. But imagine if you went outside and you went to the side of the road and you got a whole lot of gravel and bits of dirt and everything, and you put it in between two slices of bread. And on the outside, it might look quite nice. Nice bread. Oh, smells lovely. It's freshly baked. But what's inside? What's inside? Gravel and dirt. A gravel sandwich. Why is the writer talking about a gravel sandwich in Proverbs 20 verse 17? This is what he says. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel. Afterward his mouth will be full of gravel. Getting something that is not good for us, that we shouldn't have, stolen bread might taste sweet, but afterwards it will be like having a mouthful of gravel. And the devil is continually offering us gravel sandwiches, deceitful bread. It smells great. It looks wonderful. But in the end, it's far from sweet. It's far from great. It's far from wonderful. In fact, it turns to bitterness and it's full of poison. And that is where the devil would lead us. All these things that he promises. Oh, look at all these people enjoying themselves and doing this, that and the other. I wish that I could do that too. And it looks so wonderful. And you take a bite and it turns to gravel in your mouth and you realize it was all a lie. You've been deceived. You've been deceived by your father. Your father, the devil. The serpent told Adam and Eve, if they ate the forbidden fruit, it's going to be wonderful because you will be like God. You will be like God. Go on. Take a bite. As soon as they ate it, it quickly turned to gravel in their mouths. What happened? It was just a bite. It separated them from God. It brought them under curse. And it brought in death. His lies, no matter how much he packages them, no matter how much he dresses them up, they bring about death and destruction. And that is what he wants. That is what he wants. Even though you would rather serve him than God, he wants your destruction. The devil is the evil one. His nature, his being, his will are only evil. Evil is his controlling attribute. He hates both God and man. And that's what motivates him. That's what keeps him going. He wants to destroy anything and everything connected to God. God's plan of salvation, God's plan of grace. He wants to ruin mankind. Now scripture doesn't teach that Satan can, his power is limited. It doesn't teach us that he can bring a disorder into the physical universe or that he can directly operate in the lives of men. Satan's way of working, his direct agency in this physical world is very limited. His power, this is where he gets his power. It's in his ability to deceive. To deceive. He uses those created in the image of God to spit in God's face, to shake a fist at God. At the very root, Satan is a liar, and his kingdom and his domain, it's all founded upon lies and deceit. Those who belong to him, who follow him, they're being deceived by him. They're deceived by the devil. And the reason that they're deceived by the devil is because they do not love the truth. They do not love the truth. They love the lie. They're being deceived by the devil. But they're willing to be deceived because they love the lie. And not only do they love it, they come to believe the lie. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 to 12. We'll begin in verse 9, talking about the activity of Satan with all power, false signs and wonders. Verse 10, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing. And here's why he has got easy access. Because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. And the consequence? Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false. They love the lie. And because they love the lie, God gives them what they love and gives them over so that they believe in the lie. They believe it with all their heart. And that's why they run down that broad road which is leading to destruction, because they believe the lie, they love the lie. We see how the devil operates in his temptation of Jesus. In those temptations in Matthew chapter 4, what he does is he emphasizes the good. He emphasizes the benefits of what he proposes. Just do this, and this will be yours. What he's doing is he's covering up the evil that is in it. And so he is twisting the truth. He quotes from Scripture. He quotes Scripture to Jesus. But he twists it. He twists what is evil into something that is good. He is obscuring the truth. He's enticing Jesus to sin through accepting his lies. But Jesus overcomes the temptation. And how does he overcome the temptation? How will we overcome the temptations of the devil? Very simple. Very simple. Jesus overcomes it by exposing the lie with the truth. With truth. How does Jesus respond to him? It is written. It is written. Again and again, every temptation, he says, it is written. He exposes the lie by declaring the truth of God's word. Matthew 4, verse 4, verse 7, and verse 10. As it says, resist the devil and he will flee. And that's exactly what happens. We're told that the devil left him. Lies. Lies resisted. Lies counteracted by truth. By truth. Sometimes Satan will use human agents. He'll use people. Those who are given over to evil to persuade others to do evil. The scriptures describe these as children, servants of Satan. And it's a warning to us that we can be so influenced by the company that we keep. Influenced for evil by the company that we keep. Psalm 1. The entrance into the Psalter gives us this warning right at the very beginning. Walking in the counsel of the wicked. We're in their company and we're walking along with them in their company. But then standing, we've stopped. We're taking in, standing in the way of sinners. And then we feel a bit more comfortable and sitting in the seat of scoffers, those who hate, who mock God. Satan works through people, he works through institutions that are supposed to be on the side of what is good and what is right, who are to look out for the well-being of the people. But because of Satan and those who follow him, they work to do what is evil, promoting what is evil as good and making good out to be evil. His names, his character, his works, his background. Not go into his background much. He is a fallen angel. He's the leader of the forces of wickedness. He's a highly intelligent being. He has great power, but that great power is limited. He's a created being. He is not God. He is not omnipresent. He is not omniscient. He's not transcendent. He is limited. He's restricted by what God allows him to do. He is on a leash. He's on a chain. He is hedged in by God's sovereign rule over him and God's sovereignty over all things. His kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, his domain is limited and its time is limited because the scriptures tell us what's going to happen in the end. I think I've mentioned, I'm not sure if I've mentioned it here, I've mentioned it somewhere else in connection with something else, but in our house we've got at least one person who doesn't like spoilers, who won't watch trailers of films, who doesn't like reading reviews about books because they'd rather just enjoy it as it happens, as they watch the film or as they read the book. The Bible is full of spoilers. If God, if your father, if your spiritual father is the devil, the spoiler is, it's going to end in disaster for you and for the devil. We know now what's going to happen in the end. And it's God's warning to every one of us. Don't follow this father. Don't follow him any further. Because it's going to end in judgment, condemnation, destruction. His end is certain. Although the process towards that end is still going on at the present moment, the victory of Christ over sin, over death, sealed the defeat of Satan. Your father, the devil, if God is not your heavenly father, if God is not your heavenly father, those whom Paul describes in Ephesians 2, he describes them as dead in trespasses and sins. And here, you're dead in your sin. You're still in your sin. And you're there, as we've thought already, because you love your sin. You enjoy your sin. Dead in trespasses and sins, walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works in the sons, who works in the daughters of disobedience. Are you being disobedient? Are you being disobedient? Not just disobedient to your parents, are you being disobedient to God? God tells you to turn from your sin and trust in Jesus Christ, to believe in his Son. Are you being disobedient? There. Just like Jesus said to these Pharisees, there you are. You're showing that you're of your father, the devil, because you're liars and you're murderers just like him. You hate me. If you're a son of disobedience, a daughter of disobedience, there's the proof. Children under the anger of God. Did you realize that this is the one you're following? Secondly, last two points are much shorter. Secondly, your bondage to the devil. Your bondage to the devil. What is your connection? What is your relation to him? Jesus points out the relationship to these Jews in John 8 and 41. He says, "You do the deeds of your father. You do the deeds of your father. You've accepted his lies. You've accepted them because you love the lies, because you believe the lies." John 8, 44, "You're of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. That's why you are behaving as you are. You're not acting like a person who belongs to God, who trusts in God. You're acting like someone who belongs to the devil. The desires of your father you want to do." Jesus says in verse 45, "I tell you the truth, but you do not believe me." I'm telling you the truth, but you don't believe me. You don't want to believe me. Why do you not believe me? Verse 47, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." You don't want to listen to me. You don't want to listen to God's word because you are not of God. The devil's deception, your desire to go along with the lies, your trust in the lies, demonstrates that you are indeed connected. You are related to him, that he is indeed your spiritual father. Not Abraham, not God, the devil. Just as our first parents listened, they listened and they sinned rather than listening to and obeying God. You do not hear God because you are not listening to him. You're listening. Who are you listening to? You're listening to the liar, the deceiver, the murderer, who wants to keep you from God, who wants to blind you to the gospel, to what is true, and wants to keep you in bondage to those things that will prevent you from coming to God. At the very root of our problem, it goes right back to the garden, right back to Eden, and the fall into sin of our first parents. Adam represented the whole human race, and when put to the test, what happened? He chose to sin. He chose to rebel. He chose the lies of Satan rather than the truth, the word of God. And when he fell, the scriptures tell us that we fell with him. He was there representing us. He was representing the human race. When he fell, we fell. His sin, his disobedience, corrupted and tainted everything. We have inherited that corrupted, sinful nature. God declares that we have all sinned. We all fall short of his glory. We're born with a sinful nature, and we go on to prove our sinful nature. We go on to express that sinful nature when we go on to practice sin. And it's because we are sinners. Romans 6 and verses 16 to 18, Paul talks about how we are slaves to sin. Sinners are slaves to sin. It has a power over us. We serve sin. Sin is our master. And as Jesus tells them in John 8, verse 34, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Verse 44, the desires of your father, the devil, you want to do. We're slaves to sin, but we're also slaves to the devil. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26, Paul says that mankind are his subjects, that we're taken captive by him at his will. We have been taken captive. But we don't realize the desperate situation that we're in because we're actually enjoying sin. We're enjoying the lie. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, Paul shows how he keeps people under his dominion. He says, whose minds the god of this age, the devil, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And that's why we prayed at the very beginning that God would shine the light of His Word, the light of His truth, to all who are outside of His kingdom at this moment. Shine this light. Expose the lies. Reveal the truth. Hebrews 2 and verse 14, the writer calls it bondage. That's our connection. Bondage. This so-called father, he's a cruel, bitter, twisted master. Hebrews 2:14 tells us how the eternal Son of God, worshipped by angels, the creator of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth, became man. Why did he come? Why did he become man? Hebrews 2:14, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime in bondage. Jesus came into this world to set captives free. To set captives free. And that's exactly what he did in my life. He set me free from bondage. And you know what? I didn't even know I was in bondage. I didn't know I was captive to sin, captive to the devil. But Jesus, through his death, destroyed him that had the power of death and delivered them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime in bondage. Men, women, boys and girls are in a state of bondage to Satan through fear of the anger of God on account of sin. In this, they are subject to Satan, who has the power of death over them. The death of Christ sets people free. Sets people free from this state of bondage, from subjection to the power of Satan. We're born with a sinful nature. We sin. We all sin. But what we're doing is we do the desires of our father, the devil, our master. We serve sin. We are serving God's enemy. We can be sitting here, sitting in a building like this, and yet be servants of God's enemy. Scripture speaks of there being two kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of light, and then the kingdom of darkness, the domain of Satan, the ruler of all that is godless and evil. If God is not our Heavenly Father, then we continue to serve sin. And we continue to follow the prince of the power of the air. We continue to serve the devil. We're in bondage to sin. As Jesus says, we're slaves to sin. In bondage to serve this master. And just as scripture tells of his certain end and his certain condemnation, it also tells us of the certain end of those who continue to follow him to serve sin and to serve the devil. Revelation 20 verse 10 tells us what's going to happen to him. The devil will be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20 and verse 15. Anyone not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. You want to follow Satan, the devil, in this life because you love his lie, you love the sin. You want to follow him in this life if you continue to follow him throughout the remainder of your life. You'll follow him to his end, cast into the lake of fire. John says in verse 14, Revelation 20, this is the second death. You're going to die, but this is the second death. This is separation from God for all eternity. This is eternal condemnation. Your father, the devil. Did you realize? I certainly didn't. Did you realize that your disinterest in God, your disinterest in the Word of God, your disinterest in the truth, it's because of your sin. You would rather serve your sin and continue in your rebellion against God. But not only that, it's because you are serving God's enemy. It's a warning, especially to some of our young people. I know it's of concern for some, for our young people. They go off and they grow up and they've heard the Word of God and they've been taught the Scriptures, and they go off into the big, bad, wide world, as they say. And some of them think, you know what? I've had enough of all this religious stuff. I want to be free. I want to enjoy life. I want to do what they're doing. I want to travel my own path. But that thinking, those thoughts, those words, that's the way of the sons of disobedience that Paul speaks about, who are following the prince of the power of the air. It's not real freedom. You might think that's what it's like to be free. It's not real freedom at all. It's following the desires of your father, the devil. Psalm 73, Asaph says that, he said, I almost slipped. He said, I looked around and I was part of the community of God, but I looked around and I looked at the world, and the people in the world seemed to be having such a great time. They seemed to be enjoying themselves, and things were going well for them. They seemed to be prospering. And he says, I almost slipped. I almost believed the lie. But then what happens? He goes to the place of worship. He goes to meet with God. He comes under the sound of the Word of God, under the truth. And he says, there everything came into perspective, because I saw past everything that's on the outside, all the fancy stuff, all the glitter. He said, I saw their end. I saw where they were going. These people that were having a great time, they were going to destruction. And although my life's hard and things are difficult, God revealed to me that I am blessed. Blessed in so many ways. Satan's aim is to deceive, to blind you to the gospel, to keep you from the truth. Otherwise, he will lose that power over you. You might think, well, I want to be free. And you think, I will be free. I'm going to break free. But the devil will have you chasing a carrot on a stick. Whatever that carrot is, what is that carrot? What keeps you from turning from your sin and trusting in Christ today? What is it? What keeps you from it? What is that carrot that you're chasing, that you long for? Whatever it is, would you rather have that carrot in exchange for your soul? Are you willing to trade eternity with God for a gravel sandwich? Because that's all it is. That's all it is. Whatever way the devil dresses it up, it's a gravel sandwich. Thanks be to God, this bondage to the devil can be broken. It can be ended. Finally and briefly, freedom from the devil. Freedom from the devil. Jesus told the Pharisees how to be free. The devil might promise you freedom, he might promise you pleasures, he might promise you the ends of the earth, but don't forget, he is a liar. He is a liar. He's a deceiver. And whatever he will give you, it's for your destruction, to bring you down, to destroy you. How are we set free? What is real freedom? John 8:31-32. Abide in my word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And Jesus goes on to say, it is the Son. The Son will set you free. Make your home in my word, and there you shall know the truth, and this truth shall make you free. I think I might have mentioned it one time before, maybe a long time ago, but when I was a minister up the road, and there was a person that belonged to the congregation who'd left the church probably in his late teens, and he went into the world at a fast pace. He ran at it with all his heart, and he gave it all his strength. And one night, crippled in pain, what happened? God's Spirit reminded him of verses that he had learnt in Sabbath school. He hadn't been in church for about 30 years. In pain, severe pain, he started to remember verses that he had learnt when he was 5 or 6. And God spoke to him through that word, and it seems that he was converted that night. He thought he had an ulcer. It turned out it was cancer, and he was dead in 6 weeks. Everybody that met with him in those final 6 weeks said that they couldn't get over the transformation in him. There'd been people that God had brought into his life down through the years, and they said he was as hard as nails. He thought he knew it all. I've been there, I've done that. Doesn't mean anything. God changed his heart and brought him to himself. It's a great encouragement for us who have children who seem to want to know nothing about God. They're disinterested in him, they're disinterested in his word. A seed has been planted. And God can use that seed and bring it to fruit. Perhaps even years, 30 years down the line. Do you know what he said to me? He says, all my life I've served the wrong God. He had piles of money. And I'm talking about piles of money. And not just here. All over the place. And he says, I've served the wrong God. Who was he serving? His father, the devil. But just at the right time, God the Father broke that bondage and adopted him into his family. I didn't realize that I was serving sin, that I was following and serving the devil, doing his desires, until I came into contact with the truth. I came to hear about Jesus, who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life. I learned the truth about myself, a sinner. I learned the truth about God, who is holy and righteous. I learned the truth of what is at the end of that broad road that I was travelling. Destruction. And I asked Jesus to save me from my sin and the condemnation that my sin deserved. And I didn't fully understand or appreciate then the significance of all that was happening. But what I know now is that God rescued me from the domain of Satan, from the kingdom of darkness. He severed my connection to that father, my master, the devil. He set me free and he adopted me into his own family, my heavenly father, and he transferred me into his glorious kingdom of light. My biological father died. My father, the devil, has been vanquished. My heavenly father delights in me, as he does all of you who trust in him. So much so, to the extent that he gave his only begotten son to take our place, to take our sin, to take our condemnation, so that now we can look forward to being with him for all eternity. And it's all true. It's all true. God does not and cannot lie. The devil peddles fake news, misinformation, lies, in order to deceive and to destroy. God proclaims good news, the truth, the gospel, in order to save, in order not to destroy, as Jesus says in John 3, but to deliver, to give life, to give new life, to give eternal life. The good news is that God rescues sinners from serving sin and serving the devil, from fearing death and the penalty for sin. And he's done it all through his Son. Colossians 1 verse 14, here's how he's done it. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. If God is not your heavenly Father this morning, because you have not believed, you have not put your faith in his Son to rescue you, then you are still bound to your father, the devil. And when you're enjoying, or think that you're enjoying life and enjoying your sin, remember this. May God, by his Spirit, bring it back to your mind again and again, that you are doing the desires of your Father, and his desire for you is that you be destroyed with him in the lake of fire. May God in his mercy bring you to your senses today, just as it happened to the prodigal son in the parable. Get up from wallowing in your sin. He calls you, the Father calls you to come to him. Go to the Father in heaven, but go to him in repentance for your sins. Go to him in faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. He won't turn any away who come to him. This relation, this connection needs to be ended. It needs to be ended. It can be ended. But it can only be ended when you come unto him, to the Father, through Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you continue to be deceived. You continue to deceive yourself. And it's a road, it's a broad road that ends in destruction and ruin. So answer this question for yourself today. Who is my Father? Who is my spiritual Father? Amen. Just remain seated and we'll pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to think over these things, and no matter how unpleasant it might be to go over your enemy, his names, his character, his works, and what he is like, we pray, O God, that you would use these scriptures that we've considered to expose him, to bring him out from under the rock, to bring him into the full glare of your light, the light of the truth of your word. And we pray, O God, for any in our company today or any who are listening online, we pray, our Father, that if they do not belong to you through faith in your Son, we pray, O God, that you would show them that their father is not Abraham, it is not you, it is the devil. And we pray that you would use these scriptures as a warning and as a call for them to come to you, to leave the far country, to leave the pigsty, the mess, the sin, the lies, and come unto you to receive your Son, the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray, O God, that you would sever this connection with the devil, break that bondage completely apart, and in your mercy, adopt them into your wonderful family, the family of God, the people of God, true sons, true daughters of Abraham. Have mercy upon us, we pray. Amen.